The name of this order of my steps is Why So Easily Misled? Now, it's funny because the title of this can be a little misleading, because usually when we hear the word misled, we automatically go into victim mode, in which we play the victim and not realize this study is going to show us we are a victim. Don't get me wrong, but we're a victim to ourselves. We are misled today because of us. And we're going to get a chance to see that, and hopefully we can help resolve that and pull away from that. Now, understand, one of our biggest purposes to one another in the body is to help to keep us from becoming misled. This is why true godly encouragement and uniting is so important. As we have at the top of the page, we encourage and unite in order to keep each other from being misled. That's a big purpose. He shows in Colossians 2:2-4, Paul's inspired to say, my purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love. That's the first thing. So encouraged in our purpose, okay, and united in God's love. So encouraged in that godly purpose. Remember, God has to be every Christian's purpose. Our main soul purpose has to be that, and that's what I need to encourage you in. Not something that you would like to happen, but what God says and who God is. And then us coming together in God, because God is love. So united. What brings us together? Love and God. Not what we see as common, but God is the common that brings us together. He says, we do this. Why? So that they may have the full riches of complete understanding. So now, one of the most valuable things we can have is godly understanding. And the way to have it, first of all, I got to be encouraged in God, united in God. You understand? So I have access to complete understanding. Reason why many are so confused is because this is not what we're doing. We have other purposes, other desires, other things that get in the way, as you're going to see why we are misled. But he's saying that I may have access to this complete understanding, which we will need, because we have the word, but to have access to getting into the word, he says, so that you may have full riches to complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. So our relationship with Christ is not some personal thing that I make up myself. It's something that is completely put together by Christ himself. He is the word. And it's saying you may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. Christ is more than somebody that came down here, or even some just being God come down here. He is that, but he came down here to have this relationship with us, and his word establishes that relationship. So when I'm in that, and I follow the way he says, with him as my purpose, united to with the rest of the body, now I have this relationship with him, and what do I get? It says, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, this is so important because the world provides a wisdom which is not wisdom at all. In fact, the Bible tells us that if I have that type of wisdom, become a fool so that I can have access to true wisdom. And unfortunately, we allow all these other things that disguise themselves as wisdom to come into our lives, and we add them, and then we're confused again. See, we have access to this hidden, the treasure of wisdom and knowledge. You understand that? Remember, knowledge is the access to knowing things, and the wisdom is how to use it, when to use it, so on and so forth. But I only have that when I have this true relationship, and I only have this true relationship when I'm united in God and when I'm encouraged, walking with the purpose fully in God. And he says, I give you all this, watch this, very clear. In verse 4, I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. That's where we get caught. If we don't have this complete package, you're going to hear stuff and you're going to be misled. Now, as I go into this, I want to kind of set up something. You know, my daughter, who's older now, when she was younger, she started, you know, liking boys. And she would always come back and say, I met a new friend. Now, of course, the other people in the family, she would say, and they would, oh, I think he's nice. And they would always put those, you know, those niceties on the surface. Now, being a protective dad, I would always lay down the line of what she needs to watch out for, what you got to be careful for, make sure he doesn't do this. I gave her all these warnings, and she would get angry at me. Dad, why can't you just be happy for me? And usually it ended up I was right, And not because I'm this brilliant guy that had all the answers and she should have listened to me. No, it's because I was clearly thinking while she was thinking in desire. Keep that in mind. Because as a pastor, and even more as a Christian, today when we do that same thing, I've had Christians come to me and say, hey, I'm going to listen to this or I'm following this study. And I give those same warnings. Make sure you watch out for this and you watch out for this. No, give me the I know, and don't put that stuff out there. And once again, and one of two things happen. You get the ones that are truly watching it. And then when they reach a point, they're going, oh, this teacher is going the wrong way. I got to stop. But what's more disturbing is you get more of them that when the teacher goes the wrong way, they go. And then later on, you're going, so why are you doing that? And when they don't say, and here's the problem, they don't say, well, because the word says, they'll go, some teacher said. Today, the internet, on TV is full of these very bad, misleading teachers, but it's not them that's the problem. It's not them that's the problem. Here's the problem. God warned concerning the present danger of men not receiving doctrine soundly and why. You understand that? It's not those that are giving. They're already in trouble. It's the one that's receiving that's allowing this to happen. When he says in 2 Timothy 4, 3 through 5, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Do y'all catch that? Now, let me be clear. First of all, this is not talking about the world. Okay, I know some ministers try to do that just to kind of brush it away. No. The world never put up with doctrine at all, let alone sound doctrine. This has nothing to do with it. In fact, we know the difference between the world and us because of doctrine. The world has nothing to do with doctrine. They live by worldly means, which has nothing to do with doctrine. So it's not talking about that. But this is also not referring to false teachers coming in and misleading. The Bible gives a lot of scripture on that. You have the teachers out there that go out there and they're false teachers and their goal is to pull people out. This is talking about those in the church choosing to be misled based off of their desires. He says, instead to suit their own desires. Watch this. They will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. That's what's happening. See, it's not the access on the internet. It's not the thing on TV. I've had people say, there's so many on there. I can't believe that they're all wrong. Well, yeah, they are. Majority of them are, for the simple fact of those who are looking for to receive them are the ones that stretch out for them. It don't take long. You go out there and study them and you watch them. And what ends up happening is we gather teachers to say what they desire to hear. So they gather teachers to hear what I want to hear. When a teacher hits a nerve on the thing that I like or what I believe, key word being me or I, then I follow them. I don't check anything because they're saying stuff that I think should be said. Or they will hear whatever the desired teacher teaches. What does that mean, desired teacher? When I was in college, there was a church I went to. Man, and in that church, I loved the people that were in that church. I enjoyed the group. I enjoyed the activities that we did. It was one of the best emotional times I had with a group of people. Problem is, I wasn't learning anything in that church. Now, if you would have done anything to make me leave, ain't no way on earth I would have left at that time because the importance was my camaraderie and the relationships I built in that church. I participated in that church. I did things in that church. Training, teaching, horrible. It just wasn't there. They weren't teaching from the word. They were teaching more from tradition and the pattern of the group that that church belonged to. But I took what they said because I desired not to move. And some people become complacent. You find the church, your kids are happy, and you'll just listen to anything they tell you. Or you'll follow a pattern and you enjoy how they teach or the topic that they go on or their personality. And we follow that. All of these are dangerous, but it's our fault because it's wrong. Now, don't get me wrong, because I've seen people do this as well, which will get a message or two, maybe a couple of them, which are strong, which are sound. You get some very, very false teachers out there that every once in a while will give a message that is on point. But we've been warned about this. Once again, if we use the protection that's given to us, if we use that sword in this battle, we would see this. See, it should be of no surprise when you get some solid messages from false teachers. 2 Corinthians 11, 13 to 15 says, For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, watch this, masquerading as apostles of Christ. Now, when you masquerade, to those who don't search or look deep enough, you look like. You know what I mean? If I just accept you on how you look, that wolf in sheep's clothing, I just look at the clothing, not at the fruit. So they come in looking like teachers. You know, there's right now certain wording, certain jargon, certain clothing, certain actions that people do, and we accept them as Christian. Foolishly accept them as Christian. The reason why I say foolishly is because the stuff that we use to accept them as Christian isn't what the Bible uses to accept them as Christian. He says you will know them by their fruit. But I watch people noticing because of where they came from, how they talk, how they act. And it's not based off of what the Bible says. It's usually based off of what we think. But he made clear in verse 14, he says, and no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. And for those who don't use the protection God gave them, you're going to be fooled. He says, it is not surprising then if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their action deserves. So they're in trouble. But for those of you who get caught up in this person because they look like what you think they should be and not what God says they are, you allowed. It's your fault. In fact, people are being easily misled and are allowing, without sincere caution, distorted teaching. So common. Look what he says in 2 Corinthians 11, 2 through 4. He says, I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I ain't going to lie, I have this feeling too, because I'll get people to get some teachings, and you're just like, please stop. Stop, please. You know, I like it when I hear a person consistently staying in the Word. And I hear people say they are, but you watch them and they're not. Because they'll come back and they'll say and they'll follow some things, and you're just like, no. And it's a pattern that they do it, and they keep doing it. Instead of cautiously saying, I'm going to check all of this, and I'm going to keep following this in the Word, based on the Word. He says, I promised you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. But watch what he says. He says, but I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. So he's saying, and many do, go in with a sincere and pure. Now remember, those two words are supposed to be in God. When I'm sincere in God and pure in God, then it's 100% based on God. That's how it usually starts. Sincerely want to follow God the way God wants me to and do it 100% the way God says. But then that sincerity and pureness turns to me. I really feel and I really mean well. And he says, that's what he's saying. Your minds may be somehow led astray from the true sincerity and purity to a false sincerity and purity, which is corruption. He says, why? And he shows what happens. For if someone comes to you and preaches Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, if you receive a different spirit from the one you receive, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, right there he just gave you the answer. The easy way to test it is from sound doctrine. The way you can test any message, I've heard some excellent sounding worldly-based teachers that are dead wrong, and the only reason why I know it is because of sound doctrine. Not from a scripture here or there, sound doctrine. But he says, you put up with it easily enough. That's exactly what's happening. We just, oh yeah, they preached this, and it was really good, and they put it together, and we follow, and then we start following them. See, one of the things I noticed in this past year, people were bringing up things. We were bringing up topics. We were bringing up things like on masks and on getting these injections, and we were making them the topic. And so people were following these teachers in a way as if it came from God, and clearly from sound doctrine, it did not. And people are distorting the Bible to try to make their topic fit. And people put up with it easily enough. The frustration isn't the false teacher, because they're around because of the people allowing. It's like people saw a setting and said, I don't want to do this, or I really want to do this. Get my teacher to say what I want. Don't, hey, what does God say on this? We put up with the false so easy. It doesn't take much for somebody that you like to say the wrong thing. Next thing you know, you're going the wrong way. And then you play the victim, even though you got to answer to God. See, clearly enough, God gave us what we need to do in order not to be misled. He first says we must test everything we receive. If people truly did that in 1 Thessalonians 5, 21 through 22, we'd be in good shape. He says in 21, test everything. Say to yourself, everything. Everything includes all things. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. See, now the problem here is we'll test some things. It's like people who go to a restaurant, have one meal, and then call the restaurant either great or horrible due to that one meal. You tested one thing, and either it was very good, could have been a good day, could have been the one thing off the menu, could have been anything, and you now give them an A rating. Or it could have been a bad day, could have been a bad meal, and now I'll never go there again. You notice that? He says, no, test everything. A true critic would say, I got to get everything off this menu. I got to test everything off this menu. I got to come in multiple days. It's going to take about a month for me to come in and really give you a true evaluation. You get this? If we really test the things the way we're supposed to, and that's what sound doctrine does, and then we can separate. This is good. This is bad. This is good. This is bad. Not because I sat down and heard one sound sermon, just like we've seen. Satan himself has given that, and people go, oh, now he's great. And we get misled. Secondly, we must test every teacher we receive from. I tell my congregation over and over again, test me. In 1 John 4, 1 to 3, he says, dear friends, watch what he says. He starts off with, do not believe every spirit. You have some that are just looking for those to receive and believe. Why? Because I want to hear them. I want to follow them. I want a whole bunch to follow. Once again, your desires are going ahead of, I need to hear the truth. You'll find out they are hard to find. I'm telling you, they're very hard to find. Why? Because most of them are led by churches being a business. People are not pursuing the truth. People are pursuing desired messages. So that's most of the teachers you'll hear. It's supply and demand. You understand that? You're not going to get as many likes when you just give the truth. You get a whole lot of likes when you hit a group of people that want to hear what they want to hear. So he's telling me right here, don't believe every spirit. So immediately I go in skeptically, and so should you. I hope my congregation comes into church skeptically listening to the message I'm giving. Now, oh, it's Pastor Keith. We can trust him. Don't you dare. He tells us, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Why does he call it spirit? Because that's what you're either led by. Either you're led by the Holy Spirit or you're led by another spirit. And he makes clear, breaking it down, and you got to look into this to understand. He makes clear, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. He made that clear. And he says, this is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges, that word acknowledges, is not just says, it's not speaking it. It is you are in a complete agreement with. Okay? So every spirit that is in complete agreement that Jesus Christ came from the flesh is from God. So what that means is you'll never hear them distort anything in the word, especially in the New Testament. Okay, because that's when we've seen he came from God. The Old Testament set up he was coming from God in the flesh, and the New Testament shows him coming from God in the flesh. So the gospel set that up, and then the whole New Testament and what everything that it lays down is Christ in the flesh. Do you understand that? It's God in the flesh from God, Christ in the flesh from God. So we get that. The minute you hear them ignore some, get rid of some, add to some, they're not in agreement. I always use this one because it's still disturbing to me in my flesh. It's the one on 1 Corinthians 11 when it talks about hair. But it's in there. And if I ever said, you know what, don't worry about this, you test my spirit, you're like, ooh, there's a problem. 1 Corinthians 7 is another powerful one. You hear ministers not preach on because it goes against a lot of doctrine today. And immediately you will go, oh, once again. See, that's testing the spirit. They are not in agreement with because they're picking and choosing. That's why he says in verse 3, but every spirit that does not acknowledge or complete agreement with Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. How Satan does it, and if you want to know, hey, what do you mean? So Satan uses the Bible? Absolutely. Remember when he went against Jesus and he said it is written? He was using real scripture, and it used by itself would have worked. It wasn't really even out of context. What made it out of context was it wasn't sound. See, a Christian knows soundly, a non-Christian or a confused Christian or a misled Christian picks a scripture to support their ideas instead of finding their ideas from scripture. That's why he says, this is the spirit of the Antichrist who you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. This is our safety. So we got to test the message. We got to test the teacher. Very important. That teacher is not because I like them and stuff like that. And I can even add that other one. You'll know them by their fruit. You'll know them by their fruit. That's another verse you should add into the second one of make sure you test the teacher. And then thirdly, you put it all together. We must use the complete word of God as our testing tool. Titus 2, verse 1 says, you must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. I can use a scripture. The prosperity ministers have gotten away with receive and believe. Then they added name it, claim it, you know, and all these other statements that people have jumped right on. And the receive and believe as a scripture by itself does exist by itself. But there's a whole other group of ones, and especially one later on in James that says you don't receive because of your motives. Now, wait a minute. If I didn't have that, you don't add your motives. And that's why people are asking God for something. And they're sitting there going, he's going to give it to me. No, because I asked and I'm believing he's going to give it to me. And you hear them heartbroken. Why didn't he give it to me? There was one person who was assured this person is going to be healed and this is what's going to happen and blah, blah, blah. And then when a person died, they were crushed and wanted nothing to do with God. I believed. I did everything I could to believe is what they said. And I had to show them in 1 John where it said, no, as long as it's within his will. This obviously wasn't in his will. Understand what it means to receive and believe. You only can do all of this from sound doctrine. So that's right there should answer our questions. Immediately you would realize the majority of things that you're listening to are very dangerously misleading. But the reason why we keep listening to it is because we want to. Let's be honest. I want it to be what I want to hear. I want to hear it in that way. See, God's past warning let us know we are misled and headed towards destruction due to our rejection and disregarding of his word. In Hosea 4, verse 6, this is a commonly used scripture, but we usually stop at one part where it says, my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. We usually stop there, and that's absolutely true. And right now, you see today, we're lacking knowledge, and we're destroyed from it. And it's not because of something somebody's doing to us. Once again, he shows who the problem is. He says, because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you as my priests. Because you have ignored the law of your God, I also will ignore your children. I have said today, we will even replace receiving God's word with all the other excuses. I was too busy. I was too tired. Now, when it comes to our jobs, when it comes to our entertainment, when it comes to all these other things, we make sure we do them. I've seen people go on to work sick. I have to because it's my livelihood. But when it comes to God and receiving his word, no, it's not. We just don't do it. Now, in no way is this to make a person feel guilty or anything like that. It's to add a conviction to put that first. I told you there was a church, and one thing they did is they skipped the receiving of the message to go out and do good deeds. Sounds great. Most important part is receiving God's word. Why would you take the thing that's going to show me how to do a service, which the Bible shows in Ephesians 4:11, why would I get rid of that instruction and go out and just do it? Amen? It's almost like any sports team, if they say we're not having any practice to show up for the game, they will get slaughtered. They know that. It's very important to have the tools and the patterns of how to do it the right way. He says, because you have rejected knowledge and because you have ignored the law of your God, we are not really using it God purposed. It's not until I really took serious of everything that I heard, I got to go back and check it with God. And I mean sincerely check it with God. I heard nonsense that I was going along with, stuff that I was saying. So let's look at the elements that are causing so many to be so easily misled. Hopefully, as we go through these things, you'll come out of it on the other end going, okay, I got to get rid of these things. And we all have, as I'm going into this, nobody, please don't play the victim. You have the ability because you have the strength of Christ to get rid of these. First thing, instead of being wise in God, we've become naive in flesh. The verse in Proverbs 3-5 where it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. I say that over and over again because too many people go into God with an I thought mentality. They go in with a, this is how I perceive God, and then they listen. The minute God goes against what they perceive, they're lost.
and it's called naive. It says that you see them believing without measuring, like in Proverbs 14, 15, it says a simple man believes anything, but a prudent man gives thought to his steps. Okay, now remember, if you're prudent, you're going to do that thought through Christ. You're going to filter it through him. You'll hear it. Thank you. I got to look into it. It's like one of the common things in the world for a salesperson. They're like, if you sign right now, I can give it to you for this discount, this and that. And you're like, I gotta read over this first. No, no. If you take it home, you won't have this. Then I guess I won't have this discount. If you want me to have it, I'll bring it back tomorrow. But I got to look it over. And they don't want you to look it over because of the small print. And even more dangerously, Christians do that. They'll hear it. Amen. Next thing you know, they're reciting it until somebody catches them going, what are you talking about? Simple man believes everything and also lives without looking. They live, and this is why we like that faith. We hear some people speak ignorantly and act like they're speaking in the Lord. It says in Proverbs 22:3, a prudent man sees danger and takes refuge. Why does he see danger? Because he's walking by faith. He's walking by caution. He's walking by godly wisdom. But it says, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. I've watched people in the name of Christ do something and say, don't worry, I'm protected. God's going to. And next thing you know, they trip and they fall and they get jacked up. And you see them sitting there going, what just happened? Because God didn't tell them to do that. That was their interpretation of God. So once again, that naivety of the flesh, not the wisdom of God. Secondly, we are emotionally led instead of led by spiritual knowledge. Romans 10, 2 through 3 says, for I can testify about them that they are zealous for God. And I have the same thing. I can agree. There are those who are passionate for God. If that was a thing by itself, I really want to serve God. Absolutely. But what God says, just like he says, those people who want to love him, he says, if you love me, you'll do what I command. And you got a lot of people that want to love God, but they don't want to love God. You're getting where I'm going with this. So in the same way, people who truly want to follow God show that they truly don't want to follow God. He gives step by steps and you go off and do this other thing. What is this you're doing? He says, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. So your passion, you start doing a pattern and start doing it your way. I know people go out and do good deeds based on themselves. They read other books based on themselves. They follow teachers based on themselves. They think they're doing the right thing. So their zeal or their passion for God is not based on God. It's based on their version of how to follow God. There was a teacher I remember who put together this way of following God. And people who followed it was following this teacher, not realizing they weren't following God. He was like, if you do this, then you'll be godly. And they were just a bunch of lost sheep that were following this teacher who was not giving them the word, but almost making it seem like you have to come see me. And he was giving them a lot of nonsense. He says in verse 3, for since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Y'all catch that? They start doing something in the name of God, even though God's not the one to say, do it that way. Major problem. You see, we try to understand through intelligence and not through the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2, 13 through 15 shows us that. He said, this is what we speak, not in words taught by us, taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit. So he's letting you know, true godly teachers are giving you spiritual teachings, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. That's what's supposed to happen. I have many times in the past, and I've totally gotten away from it, tried to intellectually give the word of God. And intellectually, I'll hit a nerve later going, oh, well, I was telling them, well, this is what God really meant, and this is what God's going. Then I hit this message, and no. I still remember in my mind, intellectually, when I saw the story of Esau and Jacob, and it says God hated Esau, I was like, well, of course he hated him because he took the sacred thing and he did this, blah, blah, blah. And that's what he didn't hate him. He hated sin, blah, blah, blah. Until you get to Romans 9. And it says, even before he was born, God hated Esau and loved Jacob. I needed that because even though I still don't get it, I get God is saying, I'm God. I did it. It was right. You may not get it, but you better accept me getting it and just give them what I'm saying. You get this? Now, oh, what he really meant was, do you see where I'm going? God doesn't need me to defend him. Speak the spiritual truths using the spiritual words. But watch this. In verse 14, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. This is what happens when you hear something spiritual from God's word and you get this very strong confusion. because you're leaning upon your understanding, not upon the Spirit. See, a spiritual person upon the Spirit will go, this is what the Word says, amen. A fleshly person leaning upon their understanding will go, what? Now you got them. Until somebody comes across and helps to comfort that fleshly understanding, they're misled. And then we have a problem. And it's their fault. We tend to still follow by sight and not faith. We talk about this over and over again, you know, and we see in where it tells us we walk by faith, not by sight. And the not by is as important as we walk by. Okay? But we keep a lot applying sight to our walk. Colossians 2, 20 through 23 says, since you died with Christ to the basic principle of this world, why, as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? You still see people trying to go out and be good people instead of just following what God says. But no, you still see Christians who do the do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These are all destined to perish with use because they are based on human commands and teachings. I've had some people who asked because in the Old Testament, it talked about certain foods that were unclean. The uncleanness was pointing to something spiritual. It's pointing to the uncleanliness of sin, the uncleanliness of what's truly unclean spiritually. But you have some that follow through with, no, I found out that this food is bad for you. This food does this. By all means, don't eat it based on health measures, but don't keep following it based off of Old Testament statutes. Do you get where I'm going with this? You're now trying to make this physical thing a spiritual thing. Going back to the shots and the mask and all that other stuff, I have no problem. People wear a mask, don't wear a mask. Now, if your purpose, that can come up and that can be a spiritual thing. That's a whole other study. However, when you try to make it spiritual, you end up becoming a hypocrite. You know, once I'm going to have to go against on this case. Now, in no way am I trying to encourage people to get the shot. But those who are choosing not to and make it religious, it would only truly be consistent if they were that way consistently. I don't go see a doctor. I take no medications because I don't trust anything from man, so I'm not doing it. If they want to do it that way, which is not truly biblical, but if they said they wanted that way, okay, you understand that. I would not recommend that because it's not what the Bible says. The Bible speaks of doctors. Do you get where I'm coming from? Not for us to go in and trusting doctors, but you get people that go in and we pick and choose and we use God to, once again, support us and not us support God based on human commands and teachings. Y'all catch this? He says, such regulations have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body. He was like, by sight, you'll look at them and go, I'm being godly. By sight, it'll look like that thing that I'm doing looks spiritual. But he says, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. In other words, you're going in danger thinking you're protected. Thinking it will protect you. Do you get this? There was a guy who went into a battle years ago and he had this metal shield up, thinking it would protect him. And I think anybody looking at it, he just looks so secure. Like it's like a person in a suit of armor going into a battle today. Why would he still die? Because they got armor piercing bullets. That armor is worthless. It'll go right through that armor and still kill that person. But by sight, it looked like it's perfect, while it's not. The Spirit gives us what is. We keep going after what looks. Also, we entertain conversations about God that are not from God. This is a very common practice. This happens with books that are out there, with us just getting in discussions, with us getting in debates. I'm on YouTube, I'm on TikTok, I'm online, where you see these discussions, and they're dangerous when you get these intellectuals that distort and use history and mix in things, and you got these people that are just following right along. It says in Ephesians 4, 17 through 19, he says, so I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. 1 Timothy 6, 20 through 21 says, Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. Turn away from godless chatter. Remember, avoidance only works when God tells us to do it. So when I hear somebody get into an intellectual conversation that's not based on God, I slowly move my way out of it. Why? Because he says, and the opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge. He said, get away from these intellectual sounding conversations and discussions which have nothing to do with God He says in verse 21, which some have professed, and in so doing have wandered from the faith. Grace be with you. Very strong statement from God. Turn away from them, because they're going to sound good. They're going to make sense. You're going to get deeper and deeper in them, and you're going to get further and further away from God. And this happens when we allow this getting further and further away from God, is where we get to this next section, where we continue to allow hard hearts, which is stubbornness in your ways, to hinder our faith in God. See, more people are stubborn in their ways while trying to follow God. You'll never get what God's trying to say, because there's certain parts in your life that you're just clinging on to. It could be your family. It could be the way you see life. It could be your desires. All of it comes in what you want. It may not be a full package, but there's parts of it that you're holding on so tight that every time God tries to redirect you, it's that thing that's blocking you. That's why he gives us where he's saying this is what the Gentiles and how they lived. In Ephesians 4, 17 through 19, he says, so I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord. He's making sure that you understand this is godly, that you must no longer live as Gentiles do. How is that? In the futility of their thinking. That's in the worthlessness of their thinking. I know Christians to this day that have thinking. They think on their own what they think is right. And you'll hear them speak in some way that sounds good to them, but it's foolishness. And they stay in that way of thinking. It's that they are darkened in their understanding and separate from the life of God because of. So in other words, something in them is keeping them from fully understanding what God is trying to say and not being able to fully walk the way God wants them to walk, because of the ignorance that is into them due to the hardening of their hearts. Due to this stubbornness that they will not let go of what they see and how they see it, they keep being misled. And look what happens. Verse 19, having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality as so to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You start seeing them live more and more worldly, but calling themselves Christians. That blows my mind every time I read that. And it's because there's certain aspects you just won't let go of. God rather have you ask questions all the time. You know, there was a time I thought I had to really be this super brilliant man, and I kept getting it wrong. And I found out later on, praise God, I kept getting it wrong. Why? Because he was like, Keith, check everything. I thought once I'd get it, I could just follow through with my spiritual brilliance. No, the time I turned around, wrong. Again, wrong. Why was I so wrong? Because it was too much of me. I was misled because of me. My ears were itching just like the other person. Your ears are itching just like the other person. But are you following that? Are you truly following God? Please understand, it all comes down to purpose. As long as we live spirit purposed, we'll be fine. If not, we will be misled. And it will be our fault. Galatians 6, 7 through 8 says, do not be deceived. He didn't say, try not to let somebody deceive you. No, no. This is a command for something I'm not to be. What? Deceived. And he makes clear, God cannot be mocked. So the excuses you may use today of, well, I thought and I felt, stop it. Please stop. It's better off for you to ask the question in the Word of God than to plead ignorance when I have full access to knowledge. And that's why he says, a man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. And the one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. If I'm truly living for the Spirit, everything I hear, I got to compare and check with the Word of God soundly. Even if I love the message. And man, I've heard some messages that I could really use today that make me feel so good when I hear them. I love it when I hear them, only to check it. That's not what God said. There are certain things in my life that I'm waiting, want a change to happen. But his words let me know some of them, what I got is what I may have till the day I die. And I ain't going to lie, emotionally, fleshly, it's very disturbing. It's very frustrating. But when I'm living spiritually, I live in him saying thank you, because this thing that I really desire could destroy me. While my flesh, I'm going, I really want it. Our misledness and us going astray and us going in the wrong way, and it's happening to so many Christians, that's what makes it such a terrible time, is us living more in a desired message. Us reaching out to teachers and endorsing these teachers are giving us wrongness. and we just keep supporting them. I'm watching people out there that are giving lies and people still following them in droves. How? How are we not holding them accountable? I love it when they bring, I emotionally hate it when somebody brings something to my attention I'm doing wrong, but praise God when they do it. It was funny, I was talking to my family, and it was one word I was saying wrong so many years. It's a part in Revelations. I was using the word pitful instead of pitiful. I didn't realize I'm missing the I, and it's there. It's always been there. But for some odd reason, I always missed the I and called it pitful. Okay, not a huge problem, but it was still something that when it's brought to my attention, I got to clear it. But it's good to know that and good to understand that to make sure I'm not doing that with other things, that I'm not misleading. You get this? But too many times we want to go in and we want to be right, especially when we hear the message that we like. Not just be careful to what you're hearing. Make sure you're being careful to what you're hearing. It is your responsibility and it is your safety not to be misled. Let's pray. Dear Most Heavenly, Most Gracious Father, giving you the glory, the praise, and the honor, we just thank you so much, dear Lord, for giving us all the tools and the protection that we need in order not to be misled in life. We ask for your forgiveness, dear God, and us not putting our guard down, becoming complacent, and allowing desire to play a role in our walk instead of truly living and leaning towards you and you only. Dear God, I'm praying not only for myself, but for those that are under my care and under other pastors who are sincere, and to not get pulled in by all the information that's out there, but to only search for the truth in you. Recognizing, of course, it's going to be minimal because of the people's desire. Help us to be our faith eyes wide open, that we're not misled by our desired flesh eyes. We ask you to bless those who are struggling, those who are living based off of what they see and want, and not leaning upon the hope and the comfort of what you say. We give you the glory, dear God, and we want to make sure we're praising you in the right way and doing all that we can to honor you, to minister to others with our lives. We give you the glory, the praise, and the honor, and all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name. We say, amen.